In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Good morning and blessed feast.
Blessed feast.
It's a joyous day to be able to celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord together on a Sunday. In this great feast, we see Jesus ascending the mountain with his disciples. And while they were sleeping, he shone brightly like the sun, and Moses and Elijah appeared on either side of him. And we have a very helpful summary of this feast, even better than what I just said, in a hymn that we sang in Vespers last night. We sing, "Moses, who saw God, and Elijah, who rode in the chariot of fire, passing across the heavens unconsumed, beheld thee in the cloud at thy transfiguration, O Christ. And they testified that thou art the maker and the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. With them count us also worthy of thy light, O Master, that we may sing thy praises unto all the ages." Now, there's a director of a popular TV show about the life of Jesus who wrote, "The people keep saying the transfiguration would be an important scene, and I'm confused as to why. What purpose would it serve in our story?" Well, we know that Jesus Christ, as we say in the Nicene Creed, is light of light, true God of true God. And this is the purpose of the transfiguration: to demonstrate and to reinforce Christ's divinity and the glory that we are to share in. The same glory that was attested to by the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." You know, without this, the story of Jesus is incomplete. One of the last things we sang in Orthros today, by the way, I know I say this over and over again, but the hymns and the prayers of our services are so very instructive. You can learn a lot just by coming to church. Forget listening to the priest's homily. Forget reading the lives of the fathers for just a moment. But if all you were to do was to come to church and be attentive, that would be enough. But like me, many of you probably maybe aren't always attentive. I know I'm not always. And so we need these other things. But one of the last things that we sang in Orthros, just before we began the Divine Liturgy, the choir sang, shouted almost, "Glory to thee who has shown us the light." And in the first chapter of John, we read that Jesus Christ is the light who was in the beginning, which enlightens every man coming into the world. And we just got to participate in the churching of little Daniel. And again, we sang the hymn of St. Simeon, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And here's the tie-in to this feast: "A light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So we see again this connection of Christ with the divine light and glory of his Father. That Jesus is the light that is to enlighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of thy people Israel, the glory of the Father. So in him, God has joined himself to humanity so that we might be enlightened. We Gentiles might be enlightened by him. Our Father in Christ, Metropolitan Sava, put out in his recent weekly teaching, he points out that humanity, which God imprinted in his divine image, seeks out glory. And I think most of us know this to be true. We seek glory. However, it's a question of which kind of glory we seek: our own glory or God's glory? If we seek to be glorified in God, we must remember what Christ told his disciples and the verses that immediately precede this account of the transfiguration. Christ tells his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And St. Paul echoes this in his letter to the Galatians. "Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." This glory is attained by one who has passed through the glory of the cross. That is, one who has been freed of the hateful ego and self-love. But rejecting the cross causes a person to seek glory in self-affirmation, and thus his glory remains a worldly glory, which is destined to fail. And we know that it's destined to fail, as evidenced by our dissatisfaction that we experience when we finish these pursuits. We're satisfied for a moment, and then we need another pursuit. And then we're satisfied for a moment, and we need another pursuit, or more and more. But the promised glory, the glory of man's transfiguration in God's light, is the perfection of the image with the divine likeness, the lasting and the original glory, and the reason for the creation of man. We were created to be what Christ has revealed to us in this feast. The transfiguration of Christ is an indication of that connection between the cross and the resurrection, demonstrating what awaits those who follow him to the cross is divine glory in that same resurrection. In his great love for us, God desires to glorify us with him. And to participate in his glory, we must abandon pursuing our own. Jesus Christ has shown us what humanity was created to become. The transfiguration is nothing less than a sample of man's natural state. It is the beauty of humanity restored, the beauty of that original and undistorted creation. May God make us worthy to seek this glory. Amen.